So over the last several weeks, we've been going through a series called Be Like Jesus, and I hope you've enjoyed it, and this will be the last sermon in that series. I just felt like it was a good place to stop, and we'll be looking at Mark chapter 16 this morning, and if you have your Bibles, you want to turn and read from that. You can also leave notes. I like to write in my Bible. I'm not afraid to write. In my Bible, I'm not afraid to mark and highlight things, because then I can go back to that and read and say, okay, why was this so special? And I write little notes in there to remind me of why it was so special. And I tell you what, I'm just about to have to change and get a new Bible, because there's some, or I have to get another Bible to read some of the scriptures that I've got marked up in so many different colors and so much writing that it's hard to read it anymore. And I know my grandfather, I inherited a few of his old Bibles. And they're almost unreadable because they've got so many notes and so many marks and so many different colors in them that you really can't read. But I love to open them up sometimes and just look in there and read and think, okay, he's got this highlighted, and he'll have on there, preach Sunday morning. And, you know, then there will be a bunch of little scribbles in the side. And I always think, okay, what did God show him? You know, and how, you know, what did he preach that Sunday morning? So that's just something I like to do. But the scripture is amazing, because no matter how many times you read it, it seems that you always get something new out of it. If you're open, if your mind is open and focused on Christ, you'll get something new. He'll give you a word. He'll give you what you need to hear. And sometimes, you know, you need to hear it. Sometimes you may not want to hear it, but sometimes you need to hear it. And so so we're going to talk about some stuff this morning that's pretty familiar, but yet some of it is going to be some preach around it. And so, but it's in here in the scripture. And so if it's in the scripture, it's something to not be preached around. Amen. All right, so we're going to do our best to hear from God today. And so in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 20, it says, "He said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who does not believe will be punished. Here are the miraculous signs that those who believe will do. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in languages they had not known before. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and the people will get well. And when the Lord Jesus finished speaking to them, he was taken up into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God. And then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them. And he backed up his word by saying, by the signs that went with it." Now that's interesting, isn't it? That's interesting, because you don't read that. It reads a little different in Matthew and Luke, doesn't it? Just a little bit. But John 14:12 says, "Truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these." Now, I know I didn't give Verna that. She's probably looking, I didn't get that scripture. But I wanted to, I was just thinking about that scripture came to my mind this morning. And we think about when we bring people forward, just like we did early this morning, and we prayed for Sister Shirley and the Davison family and those, but it takes faith, right? It takes faith. And we have to believe that if we're... Who's a disciple of Christ? Who's a disciple here this morning? How many disciples do we have? Every believer is a disciple of Christ. Amen? If you've been born again, baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, guess what? You're a disciple. Amen? That's what the scripture tells us. And he says, guess what? If you're going to be my disciple, you will do greater things than I ever did. Now, that's some pretty powerful words. Because Jesus did some amazing things, didn't he? Now, he said, You know, this recorded passage of the Great Commission in the book of Mark and Jesus ascending into heaven. Can you imagine being there as a witness to see Jesus ascend into heaven? I mean, that would be an amazing thing to witness, wouldn't it? That'd kind of be a motivation, right? That would motivate me to go out and preach the gospel, right? But you know what motivated me to go out and preach the gospel? When I got saved and Jesus came into my heart. Amen? When the power of the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, it compels you to go out and preach the gospel. Because I've got good news in my heart now. I've got good news. This, you know, I'm saved. Amen?
Amen?
I am. That's the good news. This passage gives also believers instructions of what they should or what they should do and what their ministry should look like. If we desire to be like Jesus, this is what follows. Jesus gave the church and every believer this purpose. We have a purpose in life, church. We do. Each, not only as a church, but as individual Christians, we have a purpose. Each one of us that's been saved, we have a purpose. What's that purpose? Preach the gospel. Share the gospel with everyone that you meet. Why do I say that? Because that's what it says in the scripture. That's what Jesus said. And it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed at all. We still have the same purpose, the same mission that we had when Jesus ascended into heaven. It's never changed. Now, it doesn't mean that every believer is going to leave their family and head off into Africa or Thailand or places like that. It doesn't mean God calls people to be missionaries like that. He calls people to go do things like that. But we do have a mission field right here in Anna, right here in this county, right here in the counties around us. We have a mission field right here, and that is to preach the gospel to everyone. And do we all need to leave our communities to fulfill this command? No. We have our mission field right here. And that's why he said, go therefore and teach all nations. Matthew 28 says that, 19. And in Mark it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, he says a little different. One verse says nations and the other verse says the world. And when we study these two different Greek words, we find that we don't have to go far from home. We don't have to go far from home to fulfill the Great Commission. And we are all involved in that process. Nations is the Greek word ethnos, and it describes the different customs. Okay, we hear the word ethnic groups, you know. This ethnos or ethnos, it's a cultures and civilizations, and it means the gospel is to be taken to all people from around the world, and that's happening right now. I mean, the Nazarene Church is in over 160 countries, and in some we don't even talk about because we're not supposed to be there, but we're there. Isn't that something? 160 plus countries. And I'll tell you, General Assembly, they march, they put the flag, got to help put all the flags together of all the different nations or countries we're in. And then they try to get a representative from that country to come. And during General Assembly, during a service, they march out and they come around that room with 17,000 people in. And when they start marching around that room, and I'm telling you, I get goosebumps thinking about it now because it's an amazing event to be a part of. And to get to worship with 17,000 people is pretty amazing too. But it describes all these different customs and cultures, and it means the gospel is to be taken to all people around the world. And in one translation of Matthew 28, it says, go therefore and teach all ethnic groups, invading every race, every skin color, every nation. And that has different customs and cultures too. You know, because there's all kinds of people coming, or even here. You know, we have different groups of cultures around here. Union County has a culture. Let me tell you. You go to a different county or you go to a different place, I notice that very much. You can just go to Carbondale and you'll find a different culture in Carbondale. And that really changed me when I went to Carbondale and the way ministry, it was different. I wasn't used to that. Or you can go to Cape Girardeau and you can find a different culture there. And you can even go over into Jackson and you'll find a different, kind of a different culture in Jackson. And we find all these different cultures. And just like in Anna, we have different cultures here. We do. There's different cultures right here in our own little hometown. And each place has those different cultures. We can find those different from us. But we need to build relationships with them. And we can bring them the message of the saving power of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ. And this is our mission field. And so I hope this encourages you, because our text in Mark targets the Great Commission different. Go ye into all the world, right? Go. This world is the Greek word cosmos. It denotes a particular system, like systems of fashion or circle of friends, any sphere where you live and have influence. Does that make sense? It's the world that we exist in, which this world of Anna, right? Big world we live in right here. But it kind of goes out beyond this, because some of us, we go to Carbondale, we go to Cape, and we go to these different places, and that's part of our world too. And some of us work. We don't all work in Anna, you know. According to Rainer, Apostle Paul used the word cosmos when he wrote that Satan was the god of this world. That word still is used there. And Paul wasn't speaking of this physical earth. He was saying that Satan is the god of the systems of earth, the god of some leadership. Let me tell you, he's the god of some leaderships. He's the god of most people's influence, though. And we are to invade that world and bring the gospel to those living in darkness. Hear me? We don't fight against flesh and blood. You remember Paul's statement? We don't fight against flesh and blood, brothers. We fight against principalities. We fight against the spiritual world. That's what we're fighting against. And sometimes we get all caught up in fighting in this world about silly things, and we really miss the whole point of what he was saying. If we're going to be like Jesus, then we need to be the light in a dark world, because that's who Jesus was. He came into this world to be a light, to be the light of this world. And so if for us to be like Jesus, we need to be like Jesus. Where we work, we need to bring the gospel. We need to bring the good news to fellow workers. We need to do it at our schools that we attend, young people. Old people, if you work there, or older people. Come on. Amen. They need to hear the good news, even though, let me tell you, you'll get pushback. There's some people that don't want to hear it. Some people don't want to hear it. They don't want anything to do with it. But the circle of friends that we have, we're supposed to be an influence to them and bring the good news of the gospel. You know, we belong, some of us belong to clubs. You know, I don't belong to any clubs. I belong to the club of Jesus Christ, I guess. That's my club, all right? But some people are involved in 4-H and all these different things, and that's okay. But when we're involved in those things, we need to be the influence of the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to be that light in a dark world. We need to be like Jesus. The place where you live and the neighborhood around you, we got to be like Jesus. Where is your closest mission field, right? You know, where is your closest mission field? It's right next door most of the time. Right next door. I'm losing my neighbor. J.D. Adams used to be my neighbor, and I got to be close to J.D., and we got to be buddies, and then, you know, of course, J.D. got sick, and he passed away, and I hated to see that, because he was my friend. And then I got a new neighbor. It took a little while. His name's Joe. Okay, and Joe's from Arizona. And he moved here, retired from the military, and he moved here. And so I got to know Joe, mowed his yard a couple times. And he's been traveling back and forth to Arizona. And his mother's sick. His wife passed away with cancer, and his dad passed away. And so his mom, he wanted to bring her here. And she agreed, so he bought a house here in Anna. And he grew up in Dongola. So I know Joe's story here. So anyway, well, his mom decided she didn't want to move. So now Joe is like, well, I don't know what to do. So Joe's like, well, I still haven't sold my house in Arizona, so I guess I'm going to move back to Arizona because I can't get my mom to move here. So I'm losing my neighbor. And I've been praying with Joe. I've been talking with Joe. And we've had some really good conversations. And he said, I would come to your church. And he said, I would come to your church if I was staying. But he said, it would hurt me too much. He said, I'm afraid to get too close to people right now because it's hard enough for me to have to go back home. And I respect that from him. You know, but I'm gaining a new neighbor. And so until the deal's done, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's somebody I've known all my life. And I was really surprised, but I've known this family all my life. And so I look forward to that. And so I told him he had to stay out of my tomatoes. But no, I didn't tell him that. But, you know, I look forward to that when I have my new neighbors too, when I can get to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ, you know. And the place where we live, we're our close, that's our closest mission field, and that's where you're called to be. We're not here in Anna by accident, right? Some of us moved here. Some of us were raised around here. We were born into it. Some of us think we're trapped. We could never get out of here, you know? I talked to all kinds of people. I would have moved from here, but then I got grandkids. And then, I can't leave my grandkids, so now I'm stuck here, you know? Or I've got kids, and they've got kids. I mean, it just goes on. I've heard all kinds of excuses of why people end up staying in this little old place called Anna. Really not a lot around here, but there's a lot of good people here. There's a lot of good people here in Anna. Did you know that? I know a few of them, you know? Jesus told us the fields are ready for harvest in John 4:35. He said the fields are ready for harvest. But he also said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Man, he made that statement pretty plain. The workers are few. There's few people who really truly share the gospel with others. I'm just telling you the truth. Jesus told us the fields are ready. People right near you that are hurting and struggling. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in this county that are hurting and struggling with things. It's not always financial things. Sometimes it's just they struggle with things. I mean, there's a lot of bad things that happen to good people. But there's a lot of things that people, you know, bring on themselves. But there's a lot of hurting people right here in this county, right here in this town, right here local to us. And a lot of times they're just hoping that someone will just show a little bit of kindness and love to them. That's it. Or just listen to what they have to say. Maybe you can give them some answers. Maybe you can answer the questions that they need, you know, to help them along the way to get closer to Jesus. We're all missionaries, and maybe we're that missionary that they've been waiting for. And Jesus sends you out and I out because we've already have a relationship with Jesus. And so he says, you know, when we go make disciples, we're a disciple, we've been discipled, and so we go make disciples. You ever watch cell division? You ever seen a video of cells dividing? That's just what they do. They just divide. They never stop. They just divide. I think that was Jesus. I think that was his picture, God's picture of how we should be as a church. We just, that's what we do. We just divide and multiply. It's what we do. Jesus said we are to be the salt of the earth too in Matthew 5:13. And when we're like salt, we do what salt does. And I've preached about that before. Salt preserves. Salt heals. Salt purifies. Salt penetrates. We used to rub, we'd butcher some hogs and we'd rub these hams down with salt to preserve them. And it's amazing process how that works. You know, we're to be salt, not pepper. We're not to become worthless or lose our savor either. The word says savor, but I think savior too. What does it mean to preach his word? Does that mean you have to get up behind a pulpit? No, it doesn't mean that. Not all of us are called to stand up behind a pulpit and preach. And the Bible tells us that. He gave some the teachers and some the preachers and some to do this. We've all got our way of, but we're all to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was an instructor. Let me just use this example. If you took a job making Ford trucks, and I know some of you may cringe at that, okay? I just happen to like Ford trucks, okay? I cut my finger washing a Chevy truck yesterday, if that gives you any. I was laughing about that with Dale. If you were given this job to build Ford trucks and you were given all the parts you needed to make Ford trucks, but then there was also an instructor there who taught you how to build from the instruction manual that they were given, and everything you needed to build the trucks was right there in front of you. But also, in the same building, there were parts to make all kinds of other things as well. And they also had instruction books. What would you do? What would you do? Would you build something else? Or would you build what you're hired to build? That's kind of like it is with Jesus. Jesus said, hey, I've given you this job. Your job is to make disciples. I've given you everything you need to make disciples. I've even given you an instruction manual that tells you how to do it. Now go do it. But yet now we live in a world where there's all these other things going on in the world. There's all these other parts laying around, and we could build all these other things. We could build worldly things. We can build all this up. And sometimes we've got other religions that mix into all that, and we've got instruction manuals for all that too. But Jesus told us we're not of the world anymore. We're not to be focused on those things of the world any longer. Our big focus is to do what he's gave us commission to do, what our job is now, and that's to go make disciples. That's to preach the good news to everyone that we meet. Amen? This is good stuff, isn't it, this morning? You know that word preach comes from the word kuroso. Or carousel. It means to proclaim, to declare, to announce, or to herald a message to Jesus, of Jesus. This Kirux, there was a guy, he was a representative of the king, and his job was to announce with clear voice the desires and the orders and events and the news and the message of the king without changing the message. Now, that's pretty hard to do sometimes, isn't it? To the king, this Kyrux was a noble, privileged position of the king because he was the messenger of the king. When the king had a message, he summoned him, and he came to the king's throne room and with pencil and paper in hand, and he carefully and accurately penned the message that the king desired on a scroll. And after the king dictated the message. He was given freedom to express freely what was talked about so that he could completely understand what was being asked of him, so that there would be no mistakes in delivering those messages. He was to say it with the emotion of the king and the clarity of the king, and to get the message right. He was a representative of the king in public and private life, and bring honor to his king. And if you're a believer today, do you see yourself a representative of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? When you're at work, or no matter in your neighborhood or whatever you're doing, do you consider yourself a representative of the King of Kings, of Jesus? Whenever the king summoned, this Kyrux went with paper and pen to make sure he got it all right. And do you see yourself like that? Do you spend enough time in the presence of the Lord to get the message he wants to give you? This prayer on Wednesday nights, or prayer in your closet at home, wherever. I call it a closet, I don't know. You don't have to actually go into your closet, but your place that you go and pray. Do you spend enough time there in his presence? Does your life honor Jesus? Only you can answer that, really. We have to look at ourselves. Paul said, I have to die daily. I have to do it every day because I just can't do it. Your private life, your public life, they're important. And it's how other people see you. And if we're representatives of Jesus Christ, then it really matters what we do, what we say, how we act. It really does. It's not for me to judge. Hear me. It's not for me to judge. I just have to be the best representative that I can be of Jesus Christ. If I'm going to be like Jesus, then I have to do the things that Jesus did. So let's look at some instruction. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. And these signs will follow them that believe. Wow. Now these are crucial. According to Jesus, we are to have the supernatural signs following us as believers. Now, I know there's some that don't believe. They believe all that ended years ago. When the apostles died, when the last apostle died, they believed that all miracles and those things ended. But we know different, don't we? We know different. People get healed today. They do. The word signs comes from the Greek word simeon, which describes the official written notice that announced the final verdict of the court. The signature or seal applied to a document guaranteeing its authenticity. Let me tell you, if you're a true believer in Christ, those signs will follow you. People will know who you belong to. Hear me? They'll know that there's been change in your life. They'll know that you've been transformed by the Holy Spirit because you're different. Amen. You act different. You think different. You talk different. Those are the signs that follow too. He works through us. He works through people. The Holy Spirit living inside of you. To the unbeliever, it was a sign that the message was from God, not man-made messages. I can't get up here and preach under my own. I have to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, or I don't need to be up here at all. Just like the street sign that points us in the right direction, we are to point unbelievers to Jesus. That's our job. He mentions these things specifically. Casting out devils. casting out demons, speaking in new languages. You know, I've heard many describe times of somebody understanding them that should have never understood them, because God was doing a thing. Yeah, God was at work. I remember a preacher, he wrote in a book, and I can't remember what book it was in, but he said he got up and he was invited to go preach, and he had an interpreter, you know, just like when we had David, you know, David come and preach, and his son interpreted for him, you remember? And that was so good. Well, anyway, this guy was preaching this wonderful message, and he said the interpreter was just going on, you know, in this other language, and he said finally the interpreter just quit and sat down. He said, so I just kept on preaching. And he said, after it was over, he said, I sat down by the interpreter. He said, why did you quit? And he said, because everybody understood you better than I was speaking. And the guy didn't even know it. I believe that happened. 100%. I believe it happened. Just like on the day of Pentecost, when they heard everybody understood, even when they were from different cultures and different languages, everyone could understand what was being said. He said, taking up serpents and drinking deadly poison. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Amen. Laying hands on the sick and they get healed. You know, Charles Spurgeon talked about this. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, the church does not determine what the Bible teaches. The Bible determines what the church must teach. You hear me? This word follow is a Greek word. Parakoleutheo. Okay, I got to say it slow because I can't say it fast. It means alongside or in close proximity. And I would not recommend casting out devils if you're not walking close to the Lord, okay? Because let me tell you, there's a lot of people that are possessed in this world today. And you don't want these things in your own strength. You got to do these, because even the disciples had struggles with that, because they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, we cannot cast out this devil, this demon. And Jesus said, well, basically saying you guys don't have enough faith, but some things can't be done without prayer and fasting. Some things just can't be done. Disciples, they followed closely with Jesus, and then they do what he instructs them to do. And signs and wonders of this following a person walking close to the Lord and speaking the gospel message, these signs as God's signature as we follow the Lord, whether we are at church or on a mission field, or at work, or in a grocery store, or you expect to see God use you in a way that's more powerful than you can be on yourself, on your own. I'll tell you a story, and it's kind of a crazy story. When I was in Carbondale, there was a homeless guy in Carbondale, and Brian and I was praying for this homeless guy. And then there was another guy, and his name was John. He came, not John Stanley, but another John. He came, and we all laid hands on this guy to pray for him. Now, this guy was about 5'5", and he weighed probably 120 pounds. And at that time, Brian was about 440, 450. He's a big guy, you know, 6'4". And we were praying. I was on one side, Brian was over him like this, he was sitting down, and this guy started shaking, and he started talking crazy, and he said, you can't hurt me, you can't do anything to me, you can't do anything to me, and he pushed Brian back like I've never seen. Now, no man should have been able to do that, but we continued to pray for him, and he left out of there as quickly as he could. I witnessed that. I could feel it. There was such an evil over that man. And I know that sounds crazy, but I've witnessed things like that before. There are demon-possessed people in this world. And there's an evil in this world that wants to destroy the church. And Jesus won't let it happen because he said, the gates of hell will not prevail. If we follow close to Christ, and we're doing the things that Christ did, let me tell you, the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm telling you. Draw your attention to the word believe, and these signs shall follow them that believe. The signs of the Lord's presence don't come automatic either, though. These signs follow those who are constantly in believing and in fellowship with Him. That's why Paul said, I have to die daily. I have to die daily. I have to be in constant fellowship with Christ. Living out our lives in front of this world. Signs and wonders activated by faith and active faith. Let me tell you, it takes faith. If you don't believe that, the Lord will use you in these areas in your life. You probably will never see anything miraculous happen if you don't believe it. You know, He said, if you just have the faith of a mustard seed, right? All it takes is faith, a little faith, and you can see great things happen. Expect things to happen. Amen? I come to church every Sunday morning, whether I see something crazy happen or not, but I expect something to happen. I expect God to do something amazing. I pray. When I pray for somebody, and I hope that you do too, we prayed with Brother Curley this morning for Shirley. I expect God to do something. I expect it. I expect it. When you need protection, expect God's hand over your life. Because He says, I'll protect you. In My name shall they cast out demons. And that name is Jesus. Amen. In My name they shall cast out demons. Cast out is the Greek word for ekbalo, I guess. Means to throw out, to evict someone from one place to another, to drive out, to expel something. I'm getting awful crazy today, ain't I? You know, something the Lord uses us by His power to expel or throw out things in a person's life too. Sometimes it's in our own life. He uses the Word to do that. Why do you think it's important for believers not to be involved in magic and spells and Ouija boards and all that kind of stuff? It just opens up the door. It just opens up a window. Today we tend to think of casting out demons ordering a demon out of somebody or something like that. That it's certainly something that happens at times, but we don't think of things like that, honestly. Did you get up this morning and think about, well, we might see a demon get cast out today at church? I mean, we didn't come to church expecting that to happen, did we? Or on my way to church, I stopped at the gas station and there was, you know, there's those, and I've said this before, usually not at the gas station, it's always at the four-way stop. You see demons at the four-way stop, I'm telling you. You just do. People levitating, heads spinning around. You do. It's crazy, but it's the truth. Yeah. I love Jesus bumper sticker while they're tearing their shirt off and yelling at the guy behind them. Give them the old California howdy, you know. Some of you got that one. That just cracks me up. You know, but we need to know that these things are real. The Word of God tells us this. Jesus talked about it a lot. And these things hasn't changed. Because why? Because Christ hasn't come back yet. He's coming back to get the church, right? He's coming back to get the church. He's coming back to get those disciples who are faithful to Him. Hear me. He's coming back to get those who are faithful and obedient to Him. And He says, and many times He said, do not let me find you asleep. Don't let me find you not Let me find you sober. He uses all these illustrations. Acts 19:18 and Acts 19, the Apostle Paul and the disciples made such an impact in the town that they repented and turned from their wicked ways. Can you imagine going all over Anna, me preaching the gospel? You guys would probably get rid of me like that if I started walking the streets carrying my Bible and preaching like they did. You guys would probably think I'd lost my mind. Probably the community would too. Telling them, repent, turn from your wicked ways like Jonah did when he walked through the city of Nineveh. But it says this here. It says, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And when they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. That's interesting, isn't it? There was a public declaration that they were removing these objects from their life. I know I'm preaching long. I'll get over it. They were announcing by burning the books that they would not return to their past activities. And I'm telling you, there's some things in our life we need to burn it. We need to get rid of it from our life and never return to it. We need to cast the evil out of our lives and stay away from it. And those bridges are to be destroyed so that we do not return from what the Lord has delivered us from. And the last part, they shall take up serpents. Now, that's a pretty crazy story there. You know, in remote places here in the United States, in some of our eastern states, there's churches that practice snake handling. During part of their service, they pull out rattlesnakes and whatever poisonous snakes out, and they dance around with them, and they do that. That's crazy, isn't it? That's not contextual there. That's not in the right context. Not at all. But there's people who believe that, you know. Based upon their wrongful interpretation of Scripture, they believe a way of demonstrating their strength and faith is to handle these evil things, but we know that, you know, we can't just walk up to a cliff and jump off of it and say, okay, God, I've got faith, you're going to save me. I'm not going to break any bones, I'm just going to jump off of, yeah, I know, that's not going to work, right? Same thing. At a predetermined time in their services, I don't know, it's just crazy. You know, I can think of several scriptures that we're not to tempt God by putting ourselves in harm's way to prove our faith. But in Luke 10:19, I'm going to go on. Jesus himself said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It means he was giving them strength. He said, have faith in me that no matter what you go, no matter what happens, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. Jesus gave this word right after he instructed his disciples to go into the harvest field and reach people for the gospel. He gave them assurance that if they were going to preach, that they would have divine protection against anything the enemy used to stop them or hurt them. Jesus promised to them, just like he does to us, that protection. And these signs will follow you. He will protect you. He'll protect you from the fiery darts of Satan. Hear me? Amen. Put on the armor of God. These signs will follow them that believe. For the disciples, they would expand the gospel and explode into new territories. What does it mean for you? What does that mean for you? Most of us do not have to worry about snakes, I don't think. Some of us do really worry about snakes. Or scorpions, you know. But there are lots of dangers. We have to be responsible to share the gospel to everyone that we meet. And that's what it means to be like Jesus. We must do it with the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit and the sensitivity of seeing hurting people that really need a Savior. So, I close with that. Let's be like Jesus. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you again, Lord. And Lord, I preached what you asked me to. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we can take this purpose and share the gospel with everyone that we meet, Lord. We can spread the good news and to be the hands and feet, be the light of this world. And through all that, you'll give us protection. You'll give us everything that we need to see it accomplished. And that's what you promised us. And through that, people will know who we belong to. People will know that we follow you because of what follows us, and that's you. Lord, I praise and thank you and all that's been said today. Lord, help us. Let us leave better than we came. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.